the
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
For nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out an all-points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
For this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Jones Radio Program.
And now for something completely different.
Greetings!
Okay, we're trying again here for the second time. We had a false start there. We were trying to do video. If you're listening to this live right now, it is the, 19th of August, 2010. And let me see here. Everybody's watching the feed that was going before, I think. Make sure they know to refresh. Because I don't think they're listening to me. I think they're seeing what was looped before. Because they're still making comments on the little action figure, your doll up here that we have. We got one to lose. Poncherello von Hutenheiten from Chips.
I'm going to turn on the camera for you.
Yeah, turn on the camera real quick so people can see it. And see, I still haven't gotten it. I don't know if they're gotten it. Make sure everybody's type in there. Everybody's got it. We're going to hold the beginning of the show here for a minute, but we're going to have Chips up here, Poncherello. Now, you can't see it because of the resolution here, but Lou blacked out his face when he was a kid, and I don't know why. So we can't sell it on eBay now because they'll say it was some racist thing. Well, this is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. We're hoping everybody's getting hooked in and hooked up and ready to listen downstream here on U Broadcast. We come to you usually Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific time, and we're coming to you from the belly button of California, Cahuilla, California. I got a bunch of emails today saying, where's Cahuilla, California? Well, we're right out of the front gates of the Sequoia National Park. Sequoia National Park. We are a call-in, topical, militant Christian militia, Confederacy, seditionist radio show, and the number to call in, and I got called in, and somebody said I'm going is it still up?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, just go ahead and take it down for now. We'll have the camera up off and on throughout the day. Maybe we'll rotate some of Lou's stuff. But people are saying I'm saying the phone number too fast. That's why they're not calling in. So I'm going to say it real slow today. Area code 5-5-9-5-6-1-8-2-2-5. 561-8225. 561-8225. Area code 559. Let's see how fast I know. The phone number to call in is 559-561-8225. That's 559-561-8225. No operators are standing by. We just answer it, throw you on the air. And if you get stupid, we hang up on you, and we send Stacy out with a wiffle bat to find you, and we punish you. But yeah, I got calls and comments. They liked yesterday's show, although I felt like it was one of the worst shows I've ever done. It was really disjointed. I just didn't feel like I was in the flow. I didn't feel like I was tapping into the stream of consciousness. And we just, we do the shows we do. I put them out there. They stay there. I got some comments. People are saying, you're getting too close to the line, man. You're going to cross that line. You know, you're saying stuff you shouldn't be saying. Well, I've been saying this stuff since 1990. I was saying it when I was in the Army. I said it before I went in the Army. I've been a seditionist my whole life. I just didn't know what the word was for it. I just, I want them to stick to their thing and leave me alone. And lately, better men than I are starting to jump on the bandwagon and agree with me. And people are saying, man, you better be careful. They're going to come for you. I'm losing some friends. We're losing listeners. But I am not going to tickle your ears and curb and truncate my message that I think you need to hear because people are afraid. I mean, I'm glad you're afraid for me. There's a difference between saying, hey, Dutch, I'm praying for you. You shouldn't be saying stuff like that, but, you're really putting it out there and saying, man, you need to shut up. Stop doing that. They're going to come for you. They're going to come for me whenever they come for me. They're going to make stuff up anyway. So why shouldn't I tell the truth now? So if you're one of those folks that's offended by me pushing it too far, it's too bad. You know, I'm not going to truncate the message. And it's funny, these people that get mad at me and run away and say they're never going to come back, they keep emailing and texting me. I'm never going to listen to your show again. And then 3 days later, I was listening to your show today and you said something really stupid. And I'm not sure what I'm looking at that there. But yeah, it's, they're gonna like Batfag says in the chat room, they're going to come kick in my door anyway. So why not tell the truth? Why not share the gospel, share military experience that I have, as limited as it is, the militant worldview that I have. So I'm just going to keep putting it out there, and people receive the message. And there's going to be division between us. You know, there's going to be... I had a person call today who's been a guest on the show or been a freak. We don't really have guests. We have callers. And he said, I heard you got a lot of flack for having me on. I'm like, no, actually, I didn't. People want to argue about stuff that you put out there, but that's what it's all about. Olimar says, I'm not afraid for you, Dutch, or for any of us. It sounds like they are the ones running scared right now. You know, that's an excellent point. If anyone's been reading my Facebook page today, the Facebook page for the Dutch Jones Radio Show, that's been the theme, Olimar. They're afraid of us. The stuff they're doing, Obongo just blocked the reimportation of about 100,000 M1A1s and M1 Garands from South Korea. We gave them to them, and now they're going to sell them back to us, or they were going to, and they'd be sold through FFLs and Curio and Relic dealers. But Obongo blocked it, so we wouldn't have access to those 30-odd 6s or those 308s, their M1A1s. Because they're afraid, folks. They are deathly afraid, because they study history just like we do, and they know what a dedicated few could be capable of. What true zealots, what true dedicated, dyed-in-the-wool, down to the bone believers in the cause can do to them. They're not worried about the Tea Partiers, they're not worried about the protesters, the sheep, the Republicans, the Democrats, the libtards. They're not worried about them because they know they can be controlled. Because all they care about are their pocketbooks and their social calendars. But folks like you and I, people that have either been doing this for a while or people that are just waking up but have seen the light, we're not going to give up. We're not going to be placated with a tax cut. We're not going to be placated with, hey, if you sell out your neighbors, we'll let you and your family move to this compound and have food and blankets. They know that we're in this for the cause. That's why I talk sedition, you know. And then they're gonna, you know, somebody called me and in a caring way. If he's listening, I don't know if he's in there. I don't see, maybe in as a guest. He said, you know, they're gonna pull this stuff up and use it against you. And I said, what difference does it make if it's true or if they manipulate it? If I'm on a stand and they say, you know, are you a seditionist? I'll say, define sedition. And then I'd be like, yeah, that's what I am. And I'll say, because of tyranny. You know, they'll shut me up and they'll strike it from the record, and that's the way it's going to go. That's if they decide to take me alive. Or the pattern is they like to kill people. They like to kill them or ruin them, declare them insane, catalog, and put them away. I mean, over stupid little things. You know, so why worry about it? And when you can just keep focusing on the goal. Actually, Sir David called me today. They're talking about Sir David was on LTR and was saying that martial law nationwide. The problem with that, and I have nothing against Sir David. I'm glad he likes the show and I'm glad he listens. But I've been hearing that since 1980, that martial law was around the corner. My uncle and my father were involved in the militia movements and the Posse Comitatus and the Freemen movements in Colorado, Wyoming, Montana, North Dakota, all that, back when I was a teenager. And they always said that martial law was right around the corner. And I don't know when they're going to do it. There will be a time when they do it, but why would they pull the trigger so soon when they can get us by incrementalism? When they can take tiny bites and swallow us whole just over a longer period of time? They try to bite us all at once with martial law. It's going to be like biting a porcupine. It's going to blow up in their face, and they're going to lose a lot of people. Why do you think, you know, pre-show discussion, you know, we like to have a little bit of fun before the show gets on, about half hour before we turn on the camera. We play some goofy music. We do sound effects sometimes. But we were talking about what we're going to talk about today. And why do you think they're bringing back all those troops from Iraq? Why do you think? I mean, the mission isn't fulfilled. No WMDs. They haven't restored order. They haven't set up their puppet government yet. They haven't trained the domestic, indigenous forces to defend themselves. Nothing about that war in 7 years has been fulfilled, but yet they got to bring those soldiers back here. There's a reason they want those 30,000 troops back home, folks. It's the reason they want those Striker armored vehicles back here. And if you think for a minute it's to put them on the border, you need to go drink some Drano and just get off the planet, because you're not paying attention to what's going on. They're bringing those troops back for a reason. They're going to leave, you know, a 30 to 50,000 over there so they can keep that war going, and, you know, when they need to reinflate it. Afghanistan the same way. Now, you know, they're talking about bombing the nuclear plants in Iran so that they can't make nuclear weapons out of the rods. They need those troops back here in America, folks. California today, Arnold Schwarzenegger was all happy, got on the radio today, said that he's sending the California National Guard to the border. He's had enough with the federal government. 220 people are going to the border from the California National Guard. 200 and some. And they're going to augment and do support. They're going to be going and getting donuts. They're going to be the grocery getters. They're going to be the guys, you know, making sure that everybody has donuts, you know, before they go out on patrol. They'll be fueling up the vehicles. It's a joke, folks. But the sad part is, it's a joke, but the punchline's terrible. The punchline is, you and I lose rights. So these troops coming back, I keep telling folks, why are we fighting these wars? Well, one, you know, is to maintain a presence in the Middle East, to keep the Middle Eastern fanatics agitated so they can use them as a threat. Two is whatever corporate gains they can get out of it, which is in the billions. Two is they need to train their soldiers in real live fire training, which they can't do in America. They won't do it in America. But when they have this fake threat over there, well, it's not a fake threat, but when they have this manufactured threat in the Middle East, they can train their soldiers under live fire to be jackbooted thugs to kick in your doors to take your guns. That's what they've been doing over there for 7 years. They've been learning urban assault tactics. They've been learning how to disarm one of the most aggressive people on the planet, pissed off Muslims, where everybody gets an AK-47 for their 7th birthday. They learn how to do it over there. How do you think how easy it's going to be over here to do this to the sheep? How easy do you think it's going to be? When here we have registration of weapons. Don't tell me we don't. They go down to the local gun store, they pull those yellow sheets, and they see everybody who's bought guns. They know where you are, unless you're smart and you've moved. We just can't keep functioning like this, and it's not going to last. I don't know the time, I don't know the day. And if I got in here and said, oh, October 21st, 2010, there's going to be martial law, I want you to pick up a rock, I want you to come over here and stone me, because I'm speaking blasphemously, because I have no idea what it's going to be. I spend my weeks talking to militia people from all across the country. I just listen. I don't talk anymore. I've learned more by listening. I just listen to people on the phone today, and I learn loads, and I don't say anything, so I don't give anything up. Not that I'm worried about giving it up to other militia guys, but you get my point. I'm not gonna pinpoint a date or anything, but you've got to be ready as if it were tomorrow. I don't know, is the camera still on?
No.
You guys got to realize, we take it dead serious here. Me and Lou, my wife, Stacy, who's sick. Stacy's sick right now. It's 100 degrees and she's wrapped in a blanket in the middle of the living room floor on a pillow. She's got some kind of fever thing, so we need some prayer there. But we're dead serious. We're on this property, and every morning we wake up, we're like, huh, they didn't come last night. Maybe they'll come today. We still do our business. We still do our ministry. We're still going about collecting items and storing food and getting training and reaching out, looking at other properties to expand to. We treat every day as if it's a blessing from the Lord. It's an extra day to train and fellowship and, more importantly, spread His word. Spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. No king, but King Jesus. I don't say that enough. I do not say that enough. And that's what we do on the show. And it seems like people are getting... Somebody said that they're more afraid of us. That's true. Those of us that are relaxed in the protection of the Lord and the knowledge of the Lord. But the regular people are scared out there, and they're doing stupid stuff. I mean, we're seeing riots at HUD housing handouts. We're seeing riots at food, what do they call those places? Food pantries, where they give out the free food, you know, government cheese. They're starting to riot at those things. We had a car bombing here today in a little town not far from here, and automatic fire fired into a house. Who knows what? It's probably over drugs. But we're turning into Beirut here every day. Every single day there are shootings and murders. This weekend, a group of gangbangers went into a campground in a state park, I think it was, Pine Flat or something like that, Mineral Flat. I don't have it in front of me because my computer's locking up. And they took it over. just like the old West, you know, a bunch of Mexicans rolled up, and I'm sorry if you think I'm racist, but I'm just telling you the facts. A bunch of Mexicans, most of them probably illegal, in three or four cars, rolled into this campground and took the whole campground hostage for hours. Terrorized the people. I don't, Lord knows what they actually did, because the media won't print the truth. And these bunch of unarmed sheep up there in their motorhomes either ran into the woods or were terrorized. It took like 2 or 3 hours for the police to get there and arrest them all. We're in a third world country. We talked about that yesterday. And I'm thinking, but for the grace of God, I was there. You know, who knows? I was thinking, Lou and I, because everywhere we go, we bring weapons. You know, we're not stupid. You know, we don't think, hey, once we leave this property, everything's going to be okay. You know, it's, you know, we do put our trust in the Lord. But I'm thinking, how many rounds do we carry with us? I wonder how many there were. You know, I throw Lou the Mini 14, I grab the 45, and we just start leveling. Because if they're using deadly force, we're completely authorized to do that. But that's the world we live in now, folks. It's not necessarily the government, but the government is using these crime scenarios to soften us up, to frighten us, to make us depend upon them. And now they're going to bring in all those soldiers. Another soldier, he's been back for several years, I think it is, up somewhere in the Midwest, just whacked his whole family. His pregnant wife, his one-year-old baby, shot his three dogs and shot himself. Of course, they're going to blame it on PTSD, but the truth was, I did some checking. This guy was an inner-city Hispanic gang member youth guy that they put in the military. He was one of the people they trained that snapped too soon. They wanted to unleash, he's still in the National Guard, they wanted to unleash him on us, but instead he whacked his family. Do you see what's going on? Do you see why these wars are going on? Now, the intent of the wars over there were probably corporate profits. But the side effect was they got a live training ground and a group of people that nobody cared about. I'm going to shock a lot of you people. I get really sick to my stomach when I see all the civilians getting killed over there. I know they're Arabs. I know they're not anyone I'm related to. I know they're counter to Christian beliefs. But the fact that my tax dollars are being used to bomb little children, you know, people go, oh, you're so anti-cop, you're so anti-military. This is the stuff that makes people mad. They say you're getting too close to the edge. Because I know the evil that they do will soon be visited upon us on this soil, and that we are partially responsible for those sins of those soldiers and those that send the men, the bloody men behind the desks that don't get their hands dirty, they get their soul dirty. We allow them to stay in office. We allow them to continue to do what they do. And like Chuck Baldwin's been saying, no more courts, no more voting, just secede. Separate yourself from the vile beast and it will die. What would the federal government do if even half the state said no more? What would they do? We stand in a stream of thought that goes back centuries. And for some reason, within the last 100 years, there's been a dam put up and we don't want to do anything about it. A literal dam of the love of liberty, the love of our fellow man to be free. True Christian love, which means sometimes you love your enemy so much you put them down. But we're not acting on it. We're sitting around worried about the latest televangelist scandal. We're worried about getting our names on the roll call in heaven because we donate enough money every Sunday at church. I know people that have given $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 to a church to spite another church. That's the kind of mentality that's out there today. They don't get the big picture, and it's sad. It's really sad. I don't know how many of them are good people. I don't know. I can't judge people I don't know. There's a lot of people I don't know. But I see these people. I see them walking and wading into this tyranny as if it was a warm bath, tolerating it as if it was no more than a slight discomfort. My feet are... I'm going to move my feet. I'm trapped under here. That's what we talk about here, and that's what I want people to know. I'm not anti-cop, I'm not anti-military, but I'm anti what the police have become. I'm anti what the military has become. I'm not a lone wolf, by far. If you've listened to this show more than a couple days, you know I'm not a lone wolf, but I like a small herd. I like a small herd. I don't want these people around me. So maybe driving them off is a good thing. Maybe freaking them out and making them think, hey, I can't, you know, I should never go back there is a good thing. And if they're so thin-skinned that they're offended by simple truths, they shouldn't be even out pretending to be in the militia, pretending to be militant Christians. Because with me, it's just a howdy-do, don't come around me anymore. Lose my phone number, leave me alone. But some of the groups out there are going to slap you around. And some of the places out there are set up to entrap sheeple like you that they can convince and talk and twist and make an example of you. The way the infiltrators work. Oh, they love to come in and find some hardcore wannabe, some Ricky Rescuer. Some guy who wants to be, you know, the next Paul Revere, the next Rambo. And they put some thoughts in his head, get him to say a few things on tape. Next thing you know, he's on TV and they show him as the poster child for the entire militia. I don't know how people walk into that. That's why I've been very select. I've been in and out of militias. I've interviewed people in militias and just said, you know what, it's not going to work out for me. I just don't agree with the way you're heading. If they don't put God first, I don't want any part of it. If they don't study history and understand the Constitution and those types of things, I want no part of them. Anybody that bases their militia and their cause on a humanist view doesn't deserve to be a benefactor of what knowledge God has given me to share. It's a narrow message, folks. My message isn't for everyone. The gospel is for everyone, but the message that I put out here on this show is not. So be very careful when you promote the show. I keep asking you guys, promote the show. Tell two people. But be wise in who you tell. I mean, this past week, I've had probably 4 or 5 people just go nuts on me in the emails and in the IMs. My friend told me to listen to you. I can't believe he listened to you. You're a crackpot. You're a wacko. Well, your ignorance of the gospel and your lack of understanding of history and your lack of desire to protect your family and living as a coward does not make me a wacko, sir. I'm just a reflection of our Lord Jesus Christ. A very dim reflection, I understand that. So if you hate what I'm saying, you hate the Bible. And they can't handle that. Oh, they can't handle that. Was last night Wednesday? I'm losing track. You know what we discussed in our Bible study last night? You know, well, the rest of America on their Wednesday night Bible study was like, oh, turn the other cheek, or the parable of the Good Samaritan, which are all good things to teach, but they do that every time. We discussed the Magna Carta, which we're going to talk about in the next half hour. Do you guys know what the Magna Carta is? I haven't even thought about it since college, and even then I got a diluted version of it. Well, we studied it last night in pretty good detail, and then today, at about 3 in the morning, I couldn't sleep because it was gnawing on my brain, and I got up, and I read the Magna Carta. No, it's nowhere near perfect, but it was the first attempt, and it was the only attempt up to that point in the entire world. It was unique to the Northern Europeans to discuss the God-given liberty of all men, and to denounce the papacy, to denounce the tyranny of kings and lordships, and to give a hint at the sovereignty of all individuals and the right to pursue life, liberty, and to be unfettered by evil men. Now, granted, you read through it, there's some stuff in there like, what? And it only lasted a couple of years, and then it was suspended, and then there was a, you know, they modified it, and it came back a few years later, which, you know, we'll talk a little bit about that. But the Magna Carta, created by Europeans prior to the Reformation, so these weren't Protestants, these were Catholics, but they knew something was going on. Monarchs and clergy got together, and they created this, somewhat reluctantly. Some of them are like, man, we're giving up too much of our rights. You know, the basic concepts that a man just can't be swept off the street and his property taken because a duke doesn't like you or he thinks your wife is pretty. You didn't see this stuff happening in China, Central America. You didn't see the Aztecs sitting down and chiseling out their version of the Magna Carta. It would be like Mondo Tartario. Because Magna Carta means great charter. It's like the Mayflower Compact or something like that. It's a contract. It's an agreement saying these are the rules. I think there were 63. I was going to bring it up. It's on the computer. Luzon, I had it saved. First time in history. And that was the beginning of the stream. That's where the trickle started. Led to the Reformation, which was another step, which wasn't perfect in itself. The 95 Theses that Luther tagged on the wall weren't perfect. I don't agree with everything in there. And it ended with the Declaration of Independence. And I say it ended with the Declaration of Independence because then when the Constitution came out, it was polluted and diluted, the anti-federalists, the federalists and everything. But the Declaration of Independence on itself grasped the concept of God-given grace, rights, and pursuits of happiness, that whole thing that's in there. A lot of it was taken from the Magna Carta. Magna Carta, not Magna Carta. Magna Carta is like a car or something. It sounds like a liquor. Give me a Magna Carta. Cough syrup or something. We cannot forget what those guys wrote down back then. We have to apply it again today. Now, maybe we need to come up with our own document. The big argument I've been having today, people are like, oh, we can't get rid of the Constitution. You know, everything after the First 10 Amendments to me is a waste. We'd still have slavery. No, we wouldn't. Women wouldn't be allowed to vote. Yes, they would, but there's no reason to go overboard and argue those things. We wouldn't have income tax. We wouldn't have all kinds of the evil stuff, too, if we hadn't altered the Constitution. So I'm not looking for a constitutional convention either. I'm looking to start over again.
Mommy, what was it like in America?
Wow, that's kind of scary hearing little kids' voice. We'll be back after the break. I'm Dutch Jones. Keep listening. We'll be right back.
How can we look in our children's eyes, knowing one day they might ask us why we didn't try to stop the tyranny? To ensure the survival of our liberty, our freedoms come with a mighty price. Let's not forget those who sacrificed. They fought, some died to keep us free, like our founders did for you and me. Freedom first, that's our battleground. No, we won't sit quietly by. Fighting back with balance, you will see. Peace was for all enemies of liberty. Times are tough with no relief in sight. They're trying to change our way of life. There are things right now that you can do. Use your God-given gifts to spread the truth. Our founders knew what they had to write in our Constitution. In our Bill of Rights, we have a right to life and liberty. The pursuit of happiness is guaranteed. Freedom first, that's our battleground. No, we won't sit quietly by. Fighting back with balance, you will see. Faceless for all enemies of liberty. Understand, millions of Americans can't be wrong. Tell everyone you know we don't have long. Freedom first, that's our battleground. No, we won't sit quietly by. Fighting back with balance, you will see. We'll vote out all the enemies of liberty. Freedom first, that's our battleground.
Best conditions, the human body will die after 3 days without water. Having access to clean, drinkable water in a disaster, survival situation, or military action is critical when putting together your survival plan and survival kit. Whether you choose to boil, filter, purify, or use some type of chemical treatment, something must be done when planning your survival escape routes and plans and putting together your bug out bag or simply your rucksack. That's why I have chosen to offer Sawyer brand water filters. These filters used in the medical industry for kidney dialysis exceed the needs for water purification. With different units available, the basic unit that you should get will be capable of filtering up to 500 gallons a day and will not need to be replaced. And until you have surpassed 1 million gallons through that filter. I know that's hard to believe, but it's a fact. They've been using these filters overseas for years in the missionary fields and in post-disaster recovery efforts. The filters are lightweight and simple to use, so whether you attach it to a 5-gallon bucket, to a water bladder, or to a 10,000-gallon tank, these filters can do the job for you. They can handle up to 40 PSI, and with different fittings and ingenuity, you can even apply them to inside, inline water supply systems into your house, cabin, or survival structure. So I'm asking you to go to djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer water filters. Order them through us. You will save at least $5 off the retail price of buying them from Sawyer Direct. And as always, the money goes to help the radio ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So, do something right for your family, get them prepared for a disaster or calamity, and you're helping us out. So don't forget, djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer brand water filters.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
All for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Emergency!
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going
to
call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody!
Heavens! What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap! It's time for
Dutch Jones
Radio Program.
And now for something completely different.
Hold it against me. If I said you had a beautiful body, would you hold it against me?
Stop using the Hungarian phrase book, Lou. Why did he cut off at the beginning?
Stop.
No? Why did it cut off at the beginning, Lou?
I'm sorry, I have a cold.
No, your mom has a cold. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program, second half hour for the Thursday, August the 19th radio program. It is live right now at 5:34 p.m. Pacific time. No, I don't know what time it is where you're at. It's daytime here. The sun is not over the hill behind us yet. Hasn't sizzled into the ocean and sent over to us to the Asian Pacific Rim. It's still here in America, so we still have sunlight. It's about 102 degrees here right now, and not very comfortable, but we're still doing the show. We do what we can. We do what we are called to do here. We try and reach out to sheepdogs. The show isn't for sheep. Sheep can listen, but I guarantee it's going to make your little brain hurt. It's just gonna make you cringe. It's gonna make brain freeze feel like a feather compared to a heart attack. It's gonna be like you're getting a stroke of knowledge in your head listening to this show. Now I tell people, if you listen to the Dutch Jones Radio Program, it will raise your IQ points 1 to 4 points per week if you listen continuously. And if you actually take part, call in. I'll give that phone number out here in a minute, or you contact us through Facebook. You may double that. You may have like a force multiplier in your IQ because you're going to be aware, and your survival IQ too. Your SIQ, S-I-Q, your survival intelligent quotient, because you'll be able to figure out things. You'll be ahead of the curve. You'll be ahead of the wave of massive humanity, the unwashed masses that are going to be fleeing like refugees from every mass population center. You'll be ahead of it. You'll be able to save your family. Well, we like to discuss low and highbrow stuff here, as you may have figured out over the months that you've been listening, or the few hours that you've been listening, or the past few minutes. Wow, what's all this stuff stuck to my weapon? Looks like snagged a bunch of dirt in the Velcro in the shoulder holster. That's weird. That's what I get for just letting it dangle. Don't let it dangle. Magna Carta. A document that needs to be discussed among patriot circles, definitely among Christian patriot circles. Now, I know it could have been written by Jesuits, but it's still a good document. Anybody who thinks the Lord does not work through our enemies has a retarded view of the gospel. we constantly dismiss our enemies as just being out there working autonomously, sometimes for Satan. But you got to remember, the Lord is the Lord of all. The Lord created everything. Even those evil people that are out there, He has control over them, and He will use them to our benefit, to harden our hearts, to wet our swords with their blood, to train us. He will use them in good ways. So people are going to say, well, you're doing the Magna Carta that was written by Catholics. Well, actually, it was people who are rebelling against the Catholics. We have to start getting another light in here. We've got to figure out how to get the lighting working in here again, because I'm going to have trouble reading this. Now, the Magna Carta, 1215 A.D. In England, the Norman system... here we go again. People always calling me during the show. I got to find it. Do you have it over there?
No.
And here it is. I just keep saying I'm missing calls. I don't know who that is. Here, take it. Don't call it back, though. In England, the Norman system of government removed the rights of the people. Consequently, the kings abused the people, barons as well as commoners. Things worsened to the point under King John that the English barons drew up a contract that addressed the abuses and guaranteed the barons certain rights and privileges as contained in biblical law. Now, King John needed the help of the barons just to raise money and maintain his kingdom. He reluctantly signed the Magna Carta in 1215 A.D. It is interesting to note, but not surprising, that a clergyman, Stephen Langton, L-A-N-G-T-O-N, is likely the chief architect of the document. Now, the Pope said it was illegal, but the English Catholic Church, having Celtic origins, ignored the Pope and preserved the document and expounded it, rather than the government. So, there are times when the Church... Well, every time, all times, when people argue with you the church shouldn't get involved in politics, direct them to the Magna Carta. This was driven by priests and monks and stuff. Good priests and monks, not your typical Jesuits. Now, the Magna Carta embodied the principles of both sovereign and that people are beneath the law and subject to it. Now, did you hear what I said? You always hear the term, oh, he thinks he's above the law. The judges think they're above the law, the senators, the congressmen. The Magna Carta was the first time that established that all men are beneath the law. Now, I'm going to use a term here that you need to slow down and listen to. It's called lex rex. That's Latin for the law first, the king second. Rex meaning king, like Tyrannosaurus Rex, terrible king. Lex meaning the law. Now, lex rex is a biblical form of governance. That the law is above all men and that we must all obey God's law. Now, what has happened in America and throughout history when tyranny takes over, it's rex lex. The king puts himself before the law, and he is above it, and everyone else is under him. The king is the source of the law. The king is immune to the law. They'll use different terms. Just like in Congress and the Senate when they pass laws and they exempt themselves from laws. That alone is so anti-biblical is enough to drag them into the street naked, give them a trial, and if found guilty, hang them. That is the root of treason right there. Yeah, Lex Rex is a book, and we're going to get into that later. Good one, bad fag. Get out of my head, man. Later, both Englishmen and American colonialists cited the Magna Carta as a source for their freedom. It is also notable that around 1200, a Catholic monk named Dominique in England instituted the first example of representative government on a national level in England in his order of monks. This was a great contrast to most of Catholicism. See, these weren't your everyday run-of-the-mill Catholics that were in England. They were a different breed. And I've been studying a lot of stuff on the Catholic Church here in America. It's not all Roman Catholic, folks. Don't paint them with a broad brush. This was in great contrast to most of Catholicism. Now, around 1300, Parliament was created reflecting the representative principle. And then we get this from Exodus. Leaders of tens, leaders of fifties, leaders of hundreds, you know the deal. And then those men would report back, and then we'd report back that way. Moses and Aaron didn't have to have their hand in every decision. The representative republic is a biblical doctrine. It comes from Exodus. Lou's looking at me funny. Did I get the wrong book? Did I say something? Okay, I got it right. Okay. So when people tell you, oh, we're in a Greek democracy, oh, we follow the Roman plebeian system. No. Just limp-wristed me for doing that voice. Lou just flashed a limp-wrist at me for doing that voice. He hates it when you do the fag voices. We are not a democracy. We are not a Roman republic. We are a biblical, God-based representative republic right out of Exodus. And the Magna Carta hints at this. Magna Carta. I keep saying Magna Carta. Magna Carta. Now, in 1231, the Pope initiated the first phase of the Inquisition to identify and punish these heretics that were doing these types of things. So we see, within just 1215 to 1231, that's 16 years, the Pope got angry. The fear that we were talking about earlier in the first half hour, the fear has always been there in these tyrants. The popes, the kings, those that would be gods on this soil. Now, there are Catholics today, just like they did then when this Magna Carta came out, they challenged the infallibility of the papacy. The Pope was not all-knowing. The Pope was not all-deciding. He was not the final word. God is. The Rex Lex problem is well ensconced in the Catholic Church today, the conventional Roman Catholic Church today. Now, people in that time, you know, probably didn't, their lives weren't improved very much at first. It was mostly for the barons, I admit that, the middle managers. But it was a start. And that's where I believe the flow of liberty came, you know, on earth. Not because it comes right from the inception of mankind when God created us in the Garden of Eden, and we turned away from that liberty and instead chose the yoke of sin and slavery of sin. But on earth, the Magna Carta started it. The Magna Carta was written mostly, someone's asking in the chat room, where's his name here? A clergyman by the name of Stephen Langton, but it was a group of barons and landholding freemen in an agreement with King John. They basically extorted King John and said, if you don't do this, we will not support you, and we, guess what? We will withhold the collection of taxes to you, King John. Where have we heard that? See, I don't come up with these things. These are not my ideas. I rip them out of history and adapt them today. Remember two or three weeks ago I said, states need to stop giving the taxes back to the federal government and hold them. Obama the wannabe is complaining about the fan again. I like the fan. Do you hear the fan in there? Let me see. Yeah, it's loud in there.
Right.
You know what I think it is? It's when I re-equalized it. That might help a little bit there.
I'd rather hear that. Or...
Yeah, turn on that one. That one's really bad. Yeah, see, turn that one off. It even pops really bad. But these things I'm giving you from this show, I'm not coming up with them. Not even a small part of them. There are a few things that I may put a twist on it and add it to it, but I am standing on the shoulders of great men that I am not worthy to stand in the shadow of. I understand that. That's why my ego doesn't get involved in this, unlike other shows. Unlike... Other radio show hosts with a similar last name, that it's all about their t-shirts and their ideas and they want to serve. I don't want to lead this revolution. I want to be part of it. I want to be the guy that people go, he turned me on to this. That's my whole role. He's the one that told me. I never heard of the Magna Carta. I thought it was some champagne that I couldn't afford at BevMo. And that's Celsius. Yeah, it's boiling here. We've got to remember that. We've got to take our personalities and our egos out of this. So when I'm sharing this with you, in fact, I'm reading right now, and I should have done this before, America's Providential History by Dr. Mark A. Beliles and Stephen K. McDowell. America's Providential History has a great picture of George Washington praying with his horse. Actually, his horse is not like praying with the horse, but praying next to his horse in the snow prior to battle. Much like Stonewall Jackson, like during the break, we were both talking about how great a man Jackson was. One was talking about President Jackson, I was talking about Stonewall Jackson. So we're still good there. But then the next step after the Magna Carta, which came later, which was a precursor to the reformation of the church, which, and one of the themes of the show is, we will not get a revolution in our nation until we have a revolution in our churches, and before that we have to have a revolution in our hearts and our minds. On Facebook, I posted a bunch of scathing stuff that if you're going to a 501c3 corporate church that doesn't teach you about the Magna Carta, you need to approach your pastor and you need to say, hey, how come you don't teach us about this kind of stuff? If he is at all reluctant, doesn't want to read the stuff you give him or take the hint, you need to fire him or leave that church. And I gave you a list of churches, a place you can go to on Chuck Baldwin's website where you can find all kinds of good churches. And I also said, I put a list up of pastors looking to pastor churches that are patriot churches, that are patriotic pastors. You have a choice in this. Stop sitting on your hands. Stop saying, well, I can't find a good church. Start a home church. Go out and get this book. Go to the church at kawea.org. We don't sell these?
No, there's a link.
There's a...
it in the at the bottom. It says
at the church website.
Yeah.
It says, so they still have to go to the church website. Go to the bookstore at the church at Cahuilla. Where is it?
It's on the archive.
On the archives.
On America's
okay, go to the archives for America's Providential History and get the book. Anyway, just look for it. America's Providential History. You can start a whole church with just this book and a King James Bible. You just start going through it page by page every Sunday, every Wednesday night for your Bible study. Read the book. Go to the verses that are quoted in the book. Bring in outside material. It's always good to augment and bring reinforcing material. And you should do it. And there are names you need to know. And we're going to talk about John Wycliffe here in a minute. And John Wycliffe, what he did is he took... One of the reasons the Catholic Church had such a grasp on the hearts and minds of the people is that they wouldn't allow them to actually read Scripture. Because knowledge of the Lord is freedom and liberty. But if you don't know how to read Latin, because at that time everything was in Latin... It was an educated man's right, you know, and duty to read it, but poor people, they couldn't get it. So guys like Wycliffe and people later translated into their native tongues and made it feasible for them to actually see the lies that the Catholic Church was pushing out and these tyrants that were under the thumb of the Catholic Church in the Dark Ages. That's something I didn't go into. The Dark Ages, the absence of God's light in Europe. When the Catholics ruled all, the Inquisitions, those types of things, because they wanted to keep men's minds dark. They wanted them to not have the power of the knowledge of the Lord. The time period from approximately 500 to 1500 AD was called the Dark Ages because mankind generally was stagnant and saw little or no advancement in civil liberties, scientific discoveries, technology, and almost every other area. This lack of advancement was primarily a result of the light of the Word of God being hidden from the common people. The Word of God was completed by the apostles in the first century and canonized by the following few centuries. Yet, as the church backslid from God, His word was further removed from the people. Nevertheless, this textbook of liberty, the Bible itself, it is the textbook of liberty. The first book in every patriot's library should be the King James Bible. Was providentially being preserved by scribes and monks who painstakingly spent their entire lives hand copying the Bible. You people take for granted when you can go to a Bible store and pick up a King James Bible and just read it. You have no idea the legacy, the sacrifice, the love and desire that went into handing that book to you, and you won't even read it on a daily basis. It's pathetic. The lack of access to the truth of the Bible kept the common people ignorant during the Dark Ages. Around 1348, the bubonic plague killed one-third of the population in Europe. Shortly after this, Catholic clergyman by the name of John Wycliffe, that's W-Y-C-L-I-F-F-E, who did have access to the truth, began to see that Scripture must become the common property of all, that there might be a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. I'm going to stop right there. Where have we heard that before? That Butcher Lincoln plagiarized this in his Gettysburg Address. It was on the front of the Wycliffe Bible, right? And he plagiarized it. And made it sound like he wrote it. Another Honest Abe moment. To accomplish this goal, he translated the whole Bible from Latin into English. This was completed around 1382 or so, 150 years before the Reformation even occurred. 150 years before Luther. 150 years. Look at the time frames we're dealing with here, people. Christians used to be dedicated to the cause. Now, after a couple months, you don't like the way things are going at your church. You don't say anything. You just run away and badmouth the church. And you go into a little hole and don't do anything about it. 150 years, Wycliffe was putting forth an incredibly rebellious act of just simply translating from Latin to English the word of the Lord, the thoughts and commandments of Jesus Christ. He not only translated the Bible, but he set out to implant the truth of the Scriptures into the hearts of all men. This was accomplished by distributing Bibles, books of the Bible, and tracts throughout all of England. You see little tracts today. What are those ones that we have around here that the kids get? Can't remember what those are called. Chick tracts? Imagine a time, and it may come again, when being caught with those would get you burned at the stake. That's what happened during these Dark Ages. Anybody caught with these tracts was captured and burned by the Catholic Church and the magistrates they controlled. His followers, called Lollards, it's a derogatory term meaning idle babbler, would travel to towns and villages passing out Bibles and tracts and preaching and teaching on the street corners, in chapels, gardens, assembly halls, and everywhere else they had an opportunity to. As most people were uneducated, the Lollards taught many how to read, including many nobles. Now, we talk about the level of people being able to read and the literacy level in America being, you know, terrible. Well, imagine when literacy was like 5 to 7% of the people could only read. It's a key. There's a reason that they don't want you to be able to read. There's a reason they've dumbed down our schools. It's not the fact that they don't, they have to teach the kids to read now because they need them to work in their factories and fight their wars. But what they do is they dumb down their abilities to comprehend what they read. It's just like they dilute the versions of the Bible away from the King James. You know, sure, they're not burning Bibles today, but instead they're just making Bibles full of poop that you won't understand. They take out all the meat and leave you with just some bones to go, oh yeah, I understand that. Same concept in our school system. Now, in the words of Professor G.V. Letchler, the Lollards were, above all, characterized by a striving for holiness, a zeal for the spread of scriptural truth, for the uprooting of prevalent error, and for church reform. And then, what's another word for reform? How about revolution? We should be like these Lollards were. You know, it's a funny sounding name. Sounds like an Oompa Loompa name. Something out of Willy Wonka. But the Lollards risked life and limb distributing the truth. What's the most you've ever risked in your life to spread the gospel or to teach somebody about the true source of liberty? Seriously. Maybe offending a boss, being told you can't talk about that around the water cooler? It's pathetic. It's pathetic how easy we have it today, yet we don't even sacrifice or even strive one-tenth with these people under the threat of sword and fire we're doing 1,000 years ago. Is it 1,000 years ago? Not quite. 500 years ago. Even the common people among them were men who believed, and they communicated as by a sacred contagion their convictions to those around them. Thus they became mighty. Now let's look at that word contagion. It's like contagious. It's like a disease, but in a good way. The desire for liberty must be like an infectious disease that spreads, but something stunting it. They've immunized the minds. They've given inoculations to the minds of most of the Americans in this nation, most of the people, even the illegals, to accept their way of life. So even something as pure and as perfect as the word of liberty and the word of God can't get in. I like this. Their convictions to those around them were a sacred contagion. Thus they became mighty. Mighty in the Lord. Mighty because of the Lord. Mighty through the Lord. This is why when I tell you, you can't have a militia without it being a Christian militia and expect to do anything great. I'm sorry if that offends people. We're not really on the Liberty Tree Radio side now, but a lot of people get upset by that. When I bring that up on Liberty Tree Radio, that's where I get a lot of my complaints from the diehard old-timer types. I don't want to have to talk about Christianity. I want to talk about how to field strip my HK-91, and I want to brag about what kind of bullets I got. I want to brag about how many people I can kill. It's all good and well. That has its place around the campfires. But that's going to get you nowhere. Where are you going to go, Lou? Nowhere. A little bit of a tribute to Boondock Saints there. If you don't base what you're doing in Jesus Christ and the history of the cause, you just can't jump in a river and expect to survive it. You got to figure out where that river's coming from, where it's going, what's the flow, what's the depth, what's the foot pounds of that current going. You got to make yourself a vessel, do your research, figure out how to guide it through that river. Too many people today in the Patriot Movement, especially these idiots that harass me that are from the Tea Party or the Republic tards, they're just like, oh no, you're going to split the vote. We're going to get 4 more years of Obongo. Well, if God wants 4 more years of Obongo to destroy this nation so we can finally knock it over and rebuild it, then so be it. I'm voting for Baldwin if he runs. We haven't heard yet who's running. I heard Ron Paul's running again, but I've ridden that train. I'm not doing it again. The translation of the Bible in the hands of the Lollards became such a power that at the close of the century, according to the testimony of opponents, at least half the population had ranged themselves on the side of the Lollards. 50% of the population. Seeing the sacrifice and the love and the dedication of these Lollards, joined them. You know what that's called? Winning the hearts and minds of the people. It's like Jesse James and other guerrilla warriors during the War of Federal Aggression. They survived as long as they did because the people knew that their cause was just and that they were right against an evil tyrant. Man, if we had 50% of the population behind us, that would be awesome. If we had 50% of the people behind us, we could change things in such a short period of time. Might even be bloodless, folks. I don't want a bloody revolution. I want bloody executions, but I don't want a bloody revolution. I like dead tyrants. I don't want repentant tyrants. I don't want reformed tyrants. I don't want re-educated and converted tyrants. No, I'm sorry. If it were up to Dutchy, it's God's will, so I don't know what's going to happen. In a, you know, in a Dutchy world, it would be dead tyrants. Sic semper tyrannis. And if I mispronounce that, I'll send Lou an email. Dead tyrants. God likes dead tyrants. We're going to be back after the break. We're going to have Liberty Tree Radio on. I'll give out the phone number again real slow. It's funny. I give it out slow and nobody still calls. And that's okay. I don't know if you like what I'm saying or not. I'm just getting some feedback from the people in the chat room. But we'll be back after the break. And we're going to continue on with this Reformation, with the true source of liberty. We'll be back. I'm Dutch. Keep listening.
And for his disobedience, they fanned his fiery day. And now all is fair in love and war. Christian blood has been shed before. And though these tents of flesh may fail, the gates of hell shall never prevail. Because he gave his life for me, I shall not fear adversity. And we shall all meet at heaven's door. 'Cause all is fair in love.
p.m. on a North Dakota road, February 83, that's when the war began, where two federal marshals died for the sake of tyranny. They both would underestimate the courage of one man, who only shot in self-defense to save his promised land. Because all is fair in love and war, Christian blood has been shed before. And though these tents of flesh may fail, the gates of hell shall never prevail. Because he gave his life for me, I shall not fear adversity. And we shall all meet at heaven's door, 'cause all is fair in love. When all was said and done, and the verdicts handed down, someone had to take the fall, and it was Gordon's son, who was wounded in the fray. Please won't you pray for your recall, who now must waste his life away inside some stinking jail. Please pray the Lord might set him free. Through faith we shall prevail. Shed before, and though these tents of flesh may fail, the gates of hell shall never prevail. Because he gave his life for me, I shall.
guns.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order.
A new world order.
Attention!
Government is an emergency. Repeat, an emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
I wish to complain about this banana I purchased not half an hour ago from this very boutique.
A banana boutique? They have banana boutiques in England? Thank
yes.
you, Lou. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
A Monty Python reference there. I know we have English listeners, but they listen to the podcast. They're pod people. The pod people from England. This is the Dutch Jones radio program. I'd like to welcome our Liberty Tree radio listeners to the show. Thank you, Ed, for connecting us up and quadrupling our listener basis. And we have been doing this for about an hour now on U Broadcast. We come to you live Monday through Friday when we can get to the studio, when we have the computers, we have the power, we have the resources. And we try to share with you the militant Christian worldview or Christian militant worldview. And now I'm not wearing my LBE, it's a shoulder holster. And my name isn't Dooch. Just reading the chat room. There is a chat room on ubroadcast.com. There's a chat room on libertyradiolive.4mg.com. Is that where it's at? Oh, yeah, people can see. I guess the camera's on. That's Poncherello, whatever his name is, from Chips. I told you guys last week that Lou and I were going to go through his action figures, and we're going to start selling them on eBay so he can raise some money. He wants to get a Ruger 1022, and there's no work right now. And he's got about, I don't know, five Tupperware, gigantic Tupperware containers, like 50-gallon-sized Tupper, you know. He's going to try and sell them. This one he can't sell. He altered. This is Poncherello from the television show Chips. Remember that from the 80s? I can't do the sound. I wish we had this theme song. But for some reason, when he was about five, you'd been about 5 years. What year were you born?
95.
So it was in reruns. He colored it black with a marker, so it's got a black face. So it's a minstrel Poncherello from Chips. And I just put him up there so he could stare at you guys and intimidate you guys. I think it's hilarious. I saw that thing today. He's got the motorcycle and everything, but we can't sell it because he blacked it out. If ACLU found out that we blacked out a Mexican to make a black CHP officer, you know, I don't know, it's got to be a violation of some kind of California employment code. So what we're going to do is we're going to have fun with them. I've got some M80s and some other things. We may make some videos of Poncherello responding to a drunk driving call and getting hit by a Mack truck or something, and then, you know, set off the pyrotechnics. I don't know. Maybe we'll launch him into space, give him a parachute. We've been wanting to use a trebuchet around here. Maybe we'll launch it into a hippie's yard on fire. I don't know. It's gonna be fun. But here he is, and he's here. We were going to do terrible things to him on the video, but if you were listening in the last hour, I'm getting a lot of comments like, "Dutch, you're pushing it too far." Get the knife away from him, Lou. Don't be threatening a facsimile of a policy officer, policy enforcer on the air. People are afraid I'm going to get hauled off because I don't pull my punches here, and that may be true. So I do admit I have the sin of boisterous talk. I like to overdo it. But today we're not talking about boisterous talk. We'll give him a full body cavity search. I don't know, what's he got down here, any injection molded spots? His feet are hollow, but I don't know. But that's Poncherello. And as long as we're going to try and keep using the camera here, especially since we're on Liberty Tree Radio and I know they do the Ustream thing, we don't know if it'll knock us off. If it knocks us off, just, you know, bear with us. Lou will get it back up. He's a genius. I just sit back and twiddle my toes when he does that because I don't know how to do it. I mean, I could, but I'm not as fast as he is. We've been talking about a couple of things. We've been talking about the Magna Carta. We've been talking about Wycliffe. Those of you that don't know, he converted the Latin Bible into English. He was the first person to do it about 150 years before the actual Reformation. And we're talking about the roots of liberty and where they come from. And liberty starts in the heart. It's got to come from the churches, folks. The people in the churches, knowing where liberty comes from, who the author of liberty is, and then acting on their pastoral leadership, and then acting in the public venue, then acting on the town level, then acting on the state level, and then acting on a national level. Now, I'm not saying we need a theocracy. That's not what I'm saying. But our politicians better be Christian men that act on it, not just Christian lip service, but Christian men who act accordingly. We wouldn't have the government we have now. We wouldn't have the corruption. We wouldn't have the crime. We wouldn't have the disgusting, vile nation that we live in had we stuck to this original plan. And so I think it's important every once in a while to tap back into this. So we were talking about Wycliffe and how he did what he could do. I mean, he lived to be a ripe old age, but they dug up his bones later and then burned them. Was that Wycliffe? I can't remember if I'm reading that right. Yeah, that's what it was. They dug up his bones like 50 years later after his death. And the Catholic Church were so angry, they burned him and then spread his ashes into a stream, which led to a river, which led to a bigger river, which led to the sea. And just like his Bible, his ashes were spread around the world. It was symbolic. The Lord does stuff like that. I love it when he does that. The Catholic Church did everything they could to oppress the truth. Do you realize, during the Dark Ages, if you taught your kids the Lord's Prayer and a Catholic friar or priest or father or whatever they want to call themselves found out about it, they would throw your kids into slavery and burn you and your wife at the stake for teaching them sacred secrets? Fact. Papal law. So, that's why I'm no friend of the Catholic Church. I mean, I don't go after Catholics, but I'm no friend of the Catholic Church. But then again, I have the same feeling for corporate churches here in America. They call themselves Protestant. I'm not a Protestant. I predate it. I predate the Protestant Catholic view and what I study. I'm not an elitist. I don't even understand a lot of the stuff that great men that I read put out, but I do understand the basics. I'm just a meat and potatoes kind of Christian. Jesus said it. It's in the Bible. I try and poke around a little bit and figure out what other people think about it, and then I draw a conclusion based on better men than I. I don't want to be alone in this. Nothing I'm teaching you, nothing I'm sharing with you comes solely from my mind. I may add a twist to it, throw in some personal experience, but we stand on the shoulders of great men, and that's why we do this show. It's not, I know some people don't like it. Some people go, I want to talk about, the best magazines and stuff. There are way better shows out there doing that for you, people that are better experts at combat arms stuff than I am. I'd be doing a disservice to you if this show was just another rubber stamp of the other shows here that are way better than me. There are great shows, especially on Liberty Tree Radio, where you can learn things that I could never teach you. In fact, I listen to them to learn from them. I would just be repeating what they're telling me, and that's plagiarism. But what I do to you with my show is what I'm trying to do is offer to you, not do to you, offer you an opportunity to tap into this knowledge stream. That's it. Just to let you know it's here. You have a responsibility to come over and dip your ladle in the river and go, hey, I like this. Now, a lot of people refer to John Wycliffe as the morning star of the Reformation because he existed 150 years before. But he put the thoughts and the possibility in the minds of great men that came later, like Luther and stuff like that. But it didn't end with him. Now, one of the things a lot of people don't understand, even trivial people will pick up on this. What was the first mass-produced book in the world? It was the Bible. And I'm not talking about, I'm talking mechanically produced, not rooms full of monks, but yeah, that's true too. The Gutenberg Bible Press in Germany, the first thing they did was the Bible. Oh, here we go. Let's see what we got. See if people are mad at me. Hello, who do we have and can you hear me?
Hey. Can hear you fine, Dutch.
Oh, hey.
Even New York.
Hello.
Case, you're confusing Wycliffe and Tyndale. Tyndale died. The Pope had his bones dug up and burned them at the stake several years after he had been dead. Hated William Tyndale. His Bible was published in 1532, and they burned as many copies as they could possibly burn.
Actually, I've got three sources right here that say it's Wycliffe also.
I didn't know they burned his bones.
Yeah, 1425, hoping to remove all traces of Wycliffe's treachery, the church ordered his bones exhumed and burned along with 200 copies of his books. His ashes were then cast into the little river Swift, which conveyed Wycliffe's remains to the Avon to the Severn into the narrow sea, and to the main ocean. And thus, the ashes of Wycliffe are the emblem of the doctrine which now is dispersed all over the world. So both of them. You're right about Tyndale, too. Tyndale was burned at the stake. Alive.
Yes.
Yeah, they dug up Wycliffe, though, and did that.
This is sad, and people don't know it. And yet this Mr. Taylor, who published the Living Bible, bought up Tyndale Publications, and he publishes a Bible that's he calls the Tyndale Bible. I got a copy. I'll tell you right now, it's not. It's a translation or a patched up Tyndale. Text is not the same as what William Tyndale. Wycliffe, I've never been able to get my hands on a text.
Oh, we've got some here. Well, I'm in a
they
I'm
don't
a
want anybody to read what he wrote.
Well, and the other thing is you hit a good point there. They don't burn Bibles anymore in mass like the Catholic Church did and the magistrates did back then. Instead, they dilute the word to a point where it's no longer useful. And so instead of burning it, they just make all these different, you know, I've even seen the emo Bible, I've seen the hippie Bible, I've seen the good news Bible, where they completely destroy the word of Jesus Christ. And it's, you know, why burn it when you can control it and make it a lie?
Yeah, the street people's Bible, which I believe is what you're calling the hippie Bible,
talks
about, hey man, dig it, Jesus died for us all, hey man, give me a reefer, let's smoke,
yeah.
Woo!
Yeah, they take out the
how the text goes in the Street Peeper's Bible,
and it's just sad that most people, and especially in the Patriot Movement, they don't realize the importance of learning this stuff. This is just as important as learning how to put a round down range and get a nice group at 300 yards.
Yep.
In fact, I would say it's more important, because without building your house upon the word of the Lord, you're building in vain. The watchman watches in vain if he isn't trusting in the Lord.
And what even makes me even sicker is you got a lot of Bible thumpers out here saying, well, this is the King James Bible. Well, this is a 1611 King James. Excuse me? I've looked at the 1611 editions out here. I'll tell you right now, it's not the 16 edition King James. It's a translation of the 1611.
That's what I'm talking about. They'll change it. Hey, I've got a question in the, I don't know if you're in the chat room right now or not, but Warlin, who's over here in California, wants to ask you a question. He wants you to talk about martial law. Did you talk, I guess you were on the radio earlier today talking about martial law?
What we brought up earlier today, both in the last hour broadcast and the hour before, last night in Helena, Arkansas, we received reports that on the local radio broadcast in Nashville, the local news was running that there was martial law in Helena, Arkansas. We have nothing more than just, you know, one of those three 5-second news flips on local news, and they went on to something else, and we've got no other reports on it. That's all it is.
Okay.
All it was.
I mean, you've been in this longer than I have, and we've seen these kind of things before, so we just got to wait them out, and hopefully people in those areas will confirm or deny it. And
what we do have, though, is the report is out, is that the government is planning on an internet and a power blackout tomorrow.
Oh, really?
And I believe if they pull this off, it's going to be strictly a test run where they shut the internet down and the electric out for 2 days, maybe 3 days, and then they'll do the real thing next Friday.
Well, that would be a good indicator. If something like that does happen, then it confirms the intel, then maybe we're always at a state of readiness here.
We always talk about watch the canaries.
Yeah, and the canary in the coal mine.
Three state officials packed their bags, and they went out of town on Tuesday.
Okay.
Tuesday. And a federal officer local here, he packed his bags, and he also left on Tuesday. And I was talking with the sheriff this afternoon, and he was anxious to get ready to go. He was getting ready to pack up. He packed his bags, and he left tonight. Won't be back. None of them. Won't be back until Monday.
Maybe they're having a barbecue somewhere, you know, to get them all.
Where's everybody running to?
Yeah, they're having a big old Fed barbecue somewhere.
Yeah.
Hand out their nose rings
for
them.
That's what's going on, is watch the canaries.
Yeah.
Because when they start the run, who knows where they're going. But we're looking, you know, hey, top off your gas on your truck. Get your power generators. Draw some extra water just in case, because, man, if the power goes off, most people can't get water. So
yeah, we're set up for that. Well, I keep telling people, if you make sure your shotguns are sharpened and your swords are loaded, you won't have a problem with it.
Yeah, and I can survive 3 days without electricity, no big deal. Just won't be able to have the internet, but so, well, maybe it can.
Well, Lou's going to get on the bicycle. We'll turn on the shortwave transmitter, and we'll keep doing the show.
Yes, you put on the shortwave, and you put on the generator, and you just go right back to work.
Yeah, Lou's just going to have to pedal hard.
But these Bible translations, Dutch, are real serious because I'm really upset even with the Geneva Bible. What's being peddled out here is being the Geneva.
Patriot. Yeah, everybody's going to that.
They're not. Yeah. It's not the Geneva. There are translations. One of them is a retranslation of I believe, 1575. The one is called to be the 1599, actually is a translation of the Geneva Bible, and it was published in 1710. You know, so they're deceiving us. They're that how much was changed in the text that's not what was in the text.
Right.
And this is the ongoing. As I say with the King James, the 1611 folks had 80 books in the 1611 edition of the King James. And it had 73 books in the 1642 edition of the King James. It wasn't until 1768 that they reduced it to 66 books. And the Bible you have today was actually published in 1779. King James died in 1625.
Right.
And, gee, everybody worships King James. Here's one for you, Dutch, we haven't mentioned. We're in 399 years of Antichrist. The Puritans taught that King James was Antichrist. Oh, wait a minute. The Pilgrims and Puritans came here in what, 1620?
Mm-hmm.
In 1622? And 1624 on the Mayflower? And 1621 and 1623 on the Fortune? Who's King James? King James was king until 1625.
They were fleeing him.
They were fleeing what? Religious persecution.
Right. Right.
And everybody says he was a Christian.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think the Pilgrims and the Puritans would have agreed.
Well, even if he had a political reason for unifying his people under the English Bible. But like I was saying earlier, I don't know if you heard me, God will use enemies of his people to do good things for his people. He'll use foreign kings, he'll use captors. So I think, you know, and I agree with what you're saying, he wasn't a friend of the Puritans, but the fact that we got an English translation of the Bible because of him that was, you know, pretty solid at that time and helped spread the word even further among English-speaking Europeans was a good thing. Even he was a jerk.
Two valid texts already
that
came out. You had the Bishop's Bible and the Geneva Bible, which were being well used. And if you look at the King James Bible, all it is a rehash of the Geneva Bible. In fact, 80% of the King James Bible is nothing more than copy right out of the Geneva.
Sure.
Word for word.
Yep. Well, we're going to continue on. I appreciate you calling. I appreciate you sharing that with us. We're going to move on.
Bye-bye.
We're going to talk about the Gutenberg Bible next. So we will have a bunch of input on that. But thank you for calling in, Sir David, and thanks for that intel information about martial law. God bless you. I guess he hung up. Okay, bring that down. And somebody just said, yeah, it is so confusing. It is confusing. And rather get, you know, but it's important that if you grasp that and that's something you can study. This is like eschatology, the study of end times, end things, last things. I'm lost on that. I can't sit here and share eschatology with you. I just it's just too confusing. What I look for is what in eschatology pertains to the cause of liberty today. So it's good. So I'm glad he called in. And you guys be watching. If the internet goes down tomorrow, that might be an indicator. I don't know the date or time. But the thing of it is, I'm always ready. As ready as I'm going to be today as I'm going to be tomorrow. I might be a little bit, I may be 1% more ready tomorrow because I'll be able to afford 2 more cans of Spam and 200 more rounds if, you know, money comes in like it's been promised for people who purchase things. You know? So I'm not going to live in fear, and I like that. I didn't hear fear in Sir David's voice. We should not live in fear. We should just be ready for this garbage when it happens. Now, I know people that are listening to this right now, and I've been neglecting the folks on Facebook. I know for a fact that some of them are like, hey man, I don't have anything. I don't have a way. Let's see here. Yeah, people are commenting on stuff here. And you know, I don't have a gun. I don't have this. Well, get that wasp spray and get that baseball bat. Get it by the door. You'll get a gun from somebody. You know, I'm not going to mock you or knock you, because there was one guy, he said, look, I had all my guns and everything, but I had to pay my rent, I had to feed my children, I sold my guns. Not a thing I would do, and I have sold my guns, but I still have seven or eight. And our theory was, somebody asked, what's your SOP on guns? And I said, well, we want to have at least two for every person in the household, 500 rounds minimum for each weapon, enough to hand loved ones, relatives, visitors, guys that are passing by that you know, might be visiting for the weekend, and a couple to trade if we have to. Now, I don't know exactly how many guns we have. I don't count them, but they're positioned throughout our dwelling, our facility. There's several here where I'm at. But it's not just about the guns, folks. It's not just about the guns. We've got Band-Aids, we've got bullets, we've got food, we've got beans, we've got communication devices. I wish we had more of some things, you know, but I'm not going to live in fear. They call martial law, fine, so be it. I will glorify that day and thank the Lord for bringing it to a head finally, so I don't have to worry about my children fighting that battle. So that's my stance on martial law. We were going to go into the Gutenberg Bible and just talk a little bit about it, because people need to know. Yes, I am awake. Sorry, Brian. I was neglecting my Facebook. We got a bunch of people listening on Facebook, too, so I'm getting IMs and messages and stuff like that there. The Gutenberg Bible it occurred in the 15th century, that assured the light of truth would never be put out by any civil or ecclesiastical government. Now, did you hear that too? Ecclesiastical government, that means the church government, civil government. Now, a lot of times they're intertwined throughout history. A lot of times they're completely separate, like they are here. Sometimes, like here in America, the ecclesiastical government is completely enslaved itself under the foot of the civil magistrate. Willingly so. They'll say, "Oh, we're separation of church and state," and I'm not going to argue that at all, because that's just a blissful idiot's argument. We don't get involved because there are two separate sovereignties. Now, Jesus Christ is Lord of everything on this planet. Period. If you don't believe that, you've got some serious problems with doctrinal understanding. Jesus Christ is sovereign over all things in heaven and earth. Period. So, here we go again. I'm going to pick it up, and hello, who do we have?
Hey, this is Brian Henderson out of St. Louis.
Hey, go ahead.
Hey, I was just wanting to know, in the Bible, it says in the book of Revelation, you shouldn't take away from or add to.
Yeah.
Our translations here of the Bible, is that taking away from or adding on to? I mean, is it okay to retranslate,
you know,
and wouldn't the message be lost? Therefore, it would be taking away from?
You know, I'm going to give you what I've heard. I don't really have an opinion on it. I've heard strict constructionalists say yes. Anything you change, they go all the way back to the Septuagint. Anything after the Septuagint is a violation of that teaching. But then you have other.
I mean, there's so many different Bibles, and surely translations are going to be lost, you know.
Right. And what Lou likes to do, he'll break out like three or four Bibles and go through them line by line. He likes it's like a hobby thing he does, and he will find like whole sentences missing, whole verses missing. That's where I'm at. If a whole verse is missing, or they change a word around so it changes the idea, then yes. But if they translate it into a colloquialism or to a phraseology that gets the same thought across without any ambiguity, then no. But what I'm seeing in, like, and I could, Lou, what?
I've seen contradictions in international.
Turn off the, say that again, Lou. Say, hey, come on, you said the New International versus the King James. What
I
have you
seen? Contradictions in the New International, not in the King James.
But not in the King James.
I don't think that's relevant. I think, here, listen to this. You know, I got saved out of a hotel room by pulling up a Gideon's Bible.
Mm-hmm.
In my darkest hour, you know, I was thinking suicide. It was
sure.
Just a terrible thing. I went through a divorce, lost my kids, lost my house, everything. Contemplating suicide, I open up the Bible and I'm reading, and I got to. It wasn't in John. It was in James. If any of you lack of wisdom, let them ask of God.
Right.
Praise not, and gives freely. And that's what saved me.
Right.
So whatever translation it is, that whether it be a new anointed or whatever, you know,
mm-hmm.
fact of the matter is, it's still saving people. It's still bringing them to Christ.
Well, if that, see, you're, and I agree with your point there, because you're kind of, I think we're arguing different points. The Lord will use any translation He needs to use to get to you.
Right.
I mean, it could be a comic book version, which I've seen people in. I've been in South and Central America, and we're using tracts that are comic books, and the Lord was leading people to Himself through that comic book. So you're right. You are 100% correct there. But when you get beyond salvation theology and salvation doctrine, and you get into some of the real core, hard, basic stuff that a lot of the pinheads like to discuss, then it becomes critical. But the most important thing, which is what you just brought up, the doctrine of salvation, you know, faith-based, salvation great based on grace, not on works. If those things are in there, if those threads are reaching people, then I have no problem with that. I have no problem with somebody breaking out the hippie Bible. But if you break out the...
I kind of answered my own question.
You did. Well, it was great. Well, that's good. That's what we want. but that's wonderful, because it's an excellent point, and it was a part of it that we were missing in our discussion, and I'm glad you brought it up. The Lord, I mean, people have been saved with pages of the Bible written on toilet paper in prisoner of war camps by memory. So to say that, you know, and I hope I didn't come across as that you can't do anything unless you have the King James Bible, then somebody's going to come on and say, well, unless you're using the Septuagint, you can't save anybody. You know, unless you're using the original Hebrew and Greek, you're not going to save anybody. That's wrong. So you are 100% correct, and I'm glad you called in with that, because that's a good point.
Just a suggestion to the listeners. I recently watched this movie called The Book of Eli.
Oh, yeah.
I highly recommend this movie. It's kind of hokey, and it's kind of apocalyptic and everything like that. But you know what? It's got a great message to it.
It does. Well, we got the music coming, so thanks for calling in. That was a very good way to end this half hour. It was important that we got that message out. Thank you, sir.
Hey, no problem, Dutch. Keep up the good work, brother.
We'll be back after the break. I'm Dutch Jones. Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones radio program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
Without a gun.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
All for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out all points, bulletins. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
A new world order.
Attention.
The
government is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones. Dutch Jones
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Nothing? You got nothing? Okay, I thought we'd go out with something good. Computer glitches and computer funkiness. Well, it's the last half hour, folks. It went fast. We talked about a lot of stuff. I may have bored a couple of you. I may have enraged one or two. I know we had a lot more people at the beginning, and they bailed. People don't like to hear the heavy stuff. They want their ears tickled. I can't do that every day. It can't be a whole day talking about how to build a fire or how to stash your food. Sometimes the Lord pushes me into these things, and who am I to deny that? I mean, I'm just a feeble little Dutch Jones, and I've got to go those ways. And so I want to thank those that stuck it out, that listened to it. I want to thank the two folks that called. I love it when people call. I'm not dependent upon calls, but it lets me know that I'm not the only one putting this out, and if it redirects the thought, if it corrects me, well, that's wonderful. You know, other than the Tyndale Wycliffe controversy. I got to look that up now. I'm not sure on that one, but it'll be interesting to see. But I love stuff that makes us think. I love stuff that makes us go, you know what, this is some serious stuff. Maybe I need to look into that. And Brian's call. Brian's my favorite call that I've had in a long, 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 long time. A guy who calls up and says, I was saved in a hotel room contemplating suicide. What kind of testimony is that? That's incredible. He's left the room, so I shouldn't be talking about him, but you understand what we're talking about. You know, it where the rubber meets the road kind of thing. Where the magazine fits into the lower receiver and you get that hearty click and you tug on it and it stays. And you let that bolt fly forward. That kind of assuredness in what's about to happen next. You know, we talked a little bit about martial law happening, maybe shutting down the internet. The what ifs, the could be's, it doesn't matter. The question is always, how prepared are you? You're tapping into Liberty Tree Radio right now. You're listening. You've just listened to Mark Kornke talking and his guests. I get to listen to it later. In fact, it's on right now on a delay because of the way we do things up here. There you go. So we have to be ready for this. Let them do what they're going to do, but we must do what the Lord calls us to do and prepare our hearts, minds, and our households. The other stuff will come together. Yeah, I said households. You didn't hear me say militia. If your household is in order, your militias will come together. Lou's telling jokes in there. Everything else after that, if your household is not in order, if your soul is not in order, if your heart is not in order, if your mind is not in order, you're going to be no good to anyone. There's stuff going on the border right now that I want to talk about, but I can't. I got people calling me, all kinds of weirdness going on down there, and I don't want to talk about it because it's important. It's good stuff. It's good that people are down there doing things, but I want to make sure people's hearts are ready. People say, why don't you talk more about the border? Tell us more stuff. You can get that from other shows, from better hosts than me. I won't be able to go down there until the end of September anyway. So, you know, I'm prepared. I could jump in my car now, go down there, and live down there for 2 weeks and be fine. I'm ready for that. That's the point I'm trying to make. But unless I'm spiritually ready, I'm not going to do anybody any good. Being spiritually ready, being right with the Lord, makes you teachable, trainable, humble, and a great sword in the hand of the Lord. And some people may get bored. Well, I don't want to discuss Bible renditions and additions and all that. But if it gets your mind thinking on the right track. And one thing you need to do, folks, is every morning, the first thing you need to do is abide in the Lord. I suffer from insomnia. I don't say suffer from it because I utilize it. It's not suffering. It would be suffering if I had a 9-to-5 job and I was falling asleep at work and getting people killed, you know, driving a cement truck or something. The fact of it is, the Lord has put me in a good place where He can use me. I'm up all night reading the Bible. I'm up all night studying things online. I'm up all night studying about guys like Wycliffe. We'll get into John Calvin probably tomorrow, and the you know, the stuff that went on in Switzerland, which is rated the greatest place to live in the world right now.
If you can
get there. I don't want to go to Switzerland. I want to fight here.
If the internet.
Yeah, if we can't get on tomorrow on the internet. We'll just throw up a long wire antenna and start talking around 6,100 blah, blah, blah cycles. You know, I don't know. So, no, firefights aren't going on the border, but there's what I'm talking about, the things that are going on the border that are so much better than they were even 10 years ago. You know, the power, the impact that it's having. So I didn't mean to lead you down a path there, where like something cool's going on. Firefights aren't cool. That's not what I meant, but something intense. There's no intensity like that going on. If they are, I'm not hearing about it. But what I'm hearing about is people showing up, people doing good deeds, people doing good things on the border. There's a synergy in the air right now. There's this electricity that we're all feeling like something is going to happen. We don't know when, we don't know where, but better men than I are telling me like, hey, something's up. I mean, we've got guys like Chuck Baldwin talking about secession in his church. I can't wait for him to come here. You know, I've got the attacks on me are tenfold larger than they've ever been since I've been doing this. And I've been doing this since I was a kid in a room with a pirate radio station when I was 14, 15 years old. The amount of people telling me I need to shut up and stop doing what I'm doing has increased greatly. And that, you know what that tells me? I'm doing something right. Because I'm not on here talking screaming racial hate. I'm not on here talking, you know, butchery and debauchery. I'm not. So if they're getting angry at the truth, if they're getting angry at the gospel of the doctrine of resistance to tyrants, which is all I do here, then I know something's happening. I know something's going on. So I focus on what I know. When I took broadcast classes at the community college there in Greeley, Colorado, at Ames Community College, and this instructor who, you know, had the Biff Barf voice told me, he says, talk about what you know. Don't lie. Don't make stuff up. And you'll go far in radio. I'm Casey Kasem. His name was like Bob Jones or something. He had a really generic name. And that's what I try to do here. I'm not gonna try and sell you a shinola. I can't do that. I can't. It's just not in my spirit to do it. I tell you what I know. I had some guy send me just a ton of hate mail. Oh, you're a Rambo redneck running around in camouflage. Okay, yeah, well, I'm not Rambo. I'm nowhere near that physically fit or that skilled. But yeah, I am a redneck running around in camo. What are you, some city slicker going to protest and screaming about something until your pocketbook gets fed again and then you're going to go back to bed? That's what I'm talking about. So, I don't say it enough. I really appreciate you guys. You know, your regular listeners, your regular contributors, your regular emailers. I appreciate Liberty Tree Radio more than you know. More than I can ever show financially in my donations. We made another donation today, like $25. It'll be more as soon as we get... We still haven't been able to activate our bank account. We're waiting on some letter to come in the mail so we can activate the card. We can't shift money around yet. But having this venue on Liberty Tree Radio, having you broadcast, having the church, you know, let us use this facility, and having the minimal resources needed to get on every day, it is a blessing, folks. It is a blessing. We will realize that if this comes true and the internet dumps for a few hours tomorrow, some solar flare, the sun burps, and suddenly we lose the internet. Okay, maybe we'll appreciate it a little more. Maybe that's what the Lord's going to do. Every minute is precious right now. We are in a time of grace. We're not in a time when Satan is ruling the world. We're not in a time waiting for the second coming of the physical representation of Christ and the rapture. That's not what we're in. We're in a time of grace to fight a battle for the Lord. And brave men and women are laying down their fears. Someone says, I'm paraphrasing what someone's saying in here, but that's true. Holy Ma. Brave men and women are laying down their fears and they're focusing on the holy cause of liberty. I had people calling me today because someone that's close to me may or may not be an infiltrator, may or may not be a federal informant. Changes nothing in what I do. Doesn't change one iota what I do. One, we don't do stupid stuff here. We don't have to. Even under the restrictive laws of California, excuse me, I can function and be a viable tool against tyranny. Sure, when it's a full-out war, I'll worry about all that other really cool stuff, but I'm not gonna toy with it. I've had idiots come to me and say, "Hey, man, you want to buy some Uzis?" Ding, 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 red flag. "Hey, man, you want to buy a rifle with a silencer on it?" Ding, 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 ding. "Hey, check out my Mac 11. I know who you are. I know what you're trying to do." I appreciate people calling me and saying they have more information to confirm my, I almost said kinky gut feeling, I meant hinky gut feeling. Let's see, I will never read this chat offline. Yes, I do.
Online.
People are now leaving behind their fears and taking back all of our power through study, knowledge, and teaching others around us. Yeah, amen, Olima. Let's see, not all turds go down easy. Yeah, there's always a few floaters. Exactly. That's the kind of stuff that goes on in the chat room, folks. It's like a whole nother subleased apartment over there. You get in that chat room, you can see this stuff. You can take part in it. You can be part of the solution. Every once in a while, somebody comes in to be part of the problem, but it doesn't last very long. Usually, they lack the intellectual ammunition to actually hang with the people that listen to this show. This is one of the few examples where the host acknowledges that the listeners are probably far smarter than the host. You know, I'm not going to have the Rush Limbaugh attitude here, like, you know, one part of my brain tied behind my butt or whatever he says. I learn just as much from you guys every day reading what's going on in the chat or getting your emails. This show, it's 2 hours. I put about 6 hours into it. There's 4 hours of me reading articles, and I know some days it doesn't show, but sometimes stuff isn't just worth talking about. Talking to the pastor, reading, researching. It's almost a full-time job for me. You add this to trying to get people to buy our stuff, this is my life. And I am so thankful for it. You know how much my life would suck if I was driving a truck all day and had to come back here and do this show?
Yeah.
It wouldn't be half as... Yeah, I've done it, huh? I've driven 12-hour days, come home and done a show at 10 o'clock at night when I was doing it myself before Liberty Tree Radio picked me up. When I was on that other vile network. I shouldn't have said that. That other less impressive network. Such vitriol just bounces back on me. That's what people tell me. Somebody said, "That vitriol you speak will bounce back on you." Well, it's not vitriol if it's true. If it's true... Ah, folks. So I'm thankful every day that I get to do this. I am very thankful. I mean, I wish I lived in a regular house and didn't have to worry about my son growing up in a tyrannical nation, and I could go back to a 9-to-5 job wearing a suit and a tie, you know, scamming people for their money. I don't want to scam people, but you know what I mean. The joke that is the American economy. It'd be great if I could just be dumb and stupid like NASCAR dads. And I wish my wife was a soccer mom, dropping the kids off at karate lessons and soccer and, you know, little league and all that. But that's not going to happen anymore. It's just not going to happen anymore. I'm not called to do that. Now tomorrow, if some country station here in town said, "Hey, we finally took a look at your resume. You want to, you know, do a couple hours a day, you know, overnight?" I might do that just to augment the cause and get a little more money. But for me right now, this is the cause. I live it, I breathe it, I eat it. Every morning, I get up. I mean, people are going to laugh, people are going to be surprised, but it's the real deal for us. And no, we're not living stress on bird on a wire type stuff. But I don't know if I said it in the second hour or the first hour, but every morning we get up, it's like, okay, they didn't kick in the door last night. They didn't make up some lie and come in here and take our kids. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. And then I crack open the Bible. I spend some time alone, you know. Go outside if the, you know, get some breaking light over the horizon and get the flashlight out. And hallelujah. Enjoy what God has created for us. And just thank the Lord. I got one more day to prepare to defeat tyranny. you know, if he so chooses for us. Maybe this is all I'll ever do, and I'm happy with that. Maybe I'll motivate somebody, you know, kick somebody in the butt and start a fire underneath them, and they'll be the one to do something. If I play a small part in that, that's fine too. It's not about egos, and we've got to remember that. Because every time we have a problem with someone in our group, it's about egos. It's about sensibilities being bruised and tweaked. Like, oh, you didn't pat me on the head enough. Or, oh, you didn't raise me up in front of the whole church and thank me for that great donation I just did.
Hallelujah, that one.
So we do what we can do, and we continue to fight the good fight. And like I said, sharpen those shotguns and make sure those swords are fully loaded. Check your gear right now. If you haven't done it for a while, get out and check your gear. It happens to me. Sometimes I'll go, hey, wait a minute, what happened to all this? Oh, don't you remember you took it out for a class? Where'd I put it? I don't know. We got a class coming up this weekend. I went through my gear this morning, made sure I had all my stuff that's going to be pertaining to the class, plus all my other stuff. Check batteries. You know, we're running out of batteries for our flashlights or something, but we can live without flashlights. We'll just set fire to Lou's hair and let him run around ahead of us. We'll scare the enemy, and we'll be able to see what's going on. We improvise, we adapt, we overcome. We do what we got to do. But don't give up. Don't let these ankle biters, these venomous serpents in the grass get to you. These vipers. Don't let them get to you. Don't let the threats. Don't live in fear. And I know you guys don't live in fear. I see the emails. I see the posts you guys do on Facebook. In fact, I got another one popping up on Facebook right now. I can't neglect you guys. I'm sorry. I'll come back over here. Okay. Mike is listening. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it. Let's see what your comment is here and see if it pertains to the show. Oh, it's about Obongo commenting on something else. So let's see what we can do to get through this alive together. And then afterwards, you guys want to live one way and not exactly the way I want to live? Well, you can have Ohio. You can always move south, take over Mexico. Almost happened after the War of Federal Aggression. Wish that had happened. That would have been great. The Confederacy had taken hold in Mexico. Wouldn't that have been cool if we could vote with our feet? There are parts of Mexico that I hear are beautiful, but I wouldn't want to be there right now. We have opportunity ahead of us. That's what it is. It's not necessarily hardship. It's not calamity. It's opportunity. Opportunity to serve the Lord. Because what do we have to fear? Let's say it gets super ugly and it ends up looking like the Balkans and ethnic cleansing kicks in, so we die. We go to heaven. Big deal. What we are suffering right now, which is nothing compared to what others have suffered in the cause of liberty, would be but a blink of the eye in the eternity in heaven. So that motivates me right there. It's not I don't have a death wish, I just don't fear death. I have a death nonchalantness, if that's it makes sense if I even said that right. It's like, okay, yeah. I do fear, you know, but it's funny, the difference between us and them, the enemy, the tyrants, we love our children, we love our kin, we love our friends, and they know that. That's where our weakness is, if you want to call that a weakness, but it's also our strength. We worry about our children, we worry about our church mates, we worry about our neighbors. We do what we can for them, and they will use that against us. You know, carpet bombing villages is something we would never do, but our government does it all the time. I was arguing with somebody the other day, and we were talking about terrorism, whether it's real or not. And I said, what is the definition of a terrorist? And he prints up there, and he says, anyone who targets through bombing or military action civilians in order to bring about their victory, their way of thinking, or their military victory or political victory. And he had it all kind of mixed a couple things in. I said, really? I said, so the people of Dresden, the people of Nagasaki were victims of terrorism then? The United States bombed civilians to bring about a political change, right? And they said, well, those people started bombing civilians first. No, they didn't. We fight against evil, and this God bless America, right or wrong attitude has got to stop. This, oh, we can save it in the ballot box, has got to stop. This, oh, we're going to take it all the way to the Supreme Court, is going to stop. The Supreme Court is the modern day gladiator battles. Nothing good comes out of it. It's rigged, it's corrupt, it's upside down. It's not worth getting involved in. So you can go hire a lawyer, you can, you know, say, oh, I brought a lawyer, and they're just going to turn around. You can vote. Look at Proposition 8. They're just going to throw it out here now because of a paperwork problem. not because of its ethical or moral implications, but because of the people that are appealing the overturn of it at the lower court don't have a vested interest in the case, the court is saying. So how can you bring it to the Ninth Appellate Court if you have no vested interest? You didn't do the right paperwork. It's a circus. It goes beyond kangaroo court. So trying to fix this problem in the courts and in the ballot box is like trying to wallpaper over termite damage in a house that's ready to fall on you. Sure, it may look pretty, make you feel good, but in the end, the roof's still going to come down and squish you. What do you do with a house that's that rotted? You bulldoze it. If you can save the foundation, you build up. And what's the foundation? The Bible and the Constitution to some small part. So focus on those things. Sitting here and thinking we're going to rebuild this, I don't know. I just can't get around that. You're asking us to save something that's sinking and burning at the same time. And there are the lifeboats right there, and there's a little island over there, and it's we can go to it and rebuild. I hope I'm not getting too close to the edge. Some people are saying you're getting too close. They're not going to like what you're saying. They're not going to let you get away with this. Post pretty good Bible verses in the chat room. I like that. Psalm 118 verses 4 through 6. The Lord is on my side, and I will not fear. What can any man do to me? I'm paraphrasing, of course. You know, there's all these phrases that even secular people, you know, with God on our side, who can stand against us? You know, me and the Lord, that's a majority. Doesn't matter how many I stand against. But it's true. But you got to get on the side of the Lord. You've got to go that camp route. You've got to go over there and make that alliance. The only alliance you can trust is in the Lord. The rest are fallible and will let you down eventually. But make alliances only with trustworthy, godly men and women, and you'll go farther. You will be let down by godly men and women. I'm not going to lie to you. Happens all the time throughout history. I mean, I'm sure you guys can show thousands of examples of it. But even in our defeat, God will make victory out of that. Do you understand that? If only to teach our children to have an attitude of resistance to tyranny, that is well worth anything I have done up till now. Everything that has cost me to get to this point, everything that I've lost, everything that I've sacrificed, which is nothing compared to what the Founding Fathers did, will be well worth the fact that my daughter and my son will have a chance to live free.
Huzzah.
Or train their children to do the same thing.
Huzzah.
I talked earlier in the first hour about a flow of consciousness that goes through the river of thought. From the creation of the planet all the way down to where we are, where liberty comes from. That's what it's about. And every day you've got to tap into that. You've got to tap into it daily, hourly, if you can. I know it's tough when you got some bogus job and you're just punching a time clock and you got to pay attention to the machine so it doesn't chop your fingers off. I know that. Set aside time for the Lord. Set aside time for training. Set aside time for studying great men in history that relied on the Lord. King Alfred. I didn't even get into him today. King Alfred. You know, we'll talk about him someday and what he did. We talk about Cromwell. We were talking in the chat room about Stonewall Jackson. Had he not died, who knows how things would have gone? Who knows how things would have gone? Encouragement to one another. Support one another. Rely on the Lord. Focus on the basics. Don't fear. If the internet goes off tomorrow, okay, fine. That gives me one less thing I have to worry about, and then I can just start strengthening myself and our target in other ways, right? Right? Well, I'm Dutch Jones. This has been the Dutch Jones Show. I hope you enjoyed it. William of Orange, good one there, Batfag. Great one. Great, great man of Christ. Covenanters in Scotland. We have to do this. And if you like what I'm doing here, just support us, pray for us. Send in a couple dollars here and there. That's all I ask. We'll be back tomorrow, unless they push the button. Who knows? I have a feeling we'll be back tomorrow. So I'm Dutch Jones. Thanks to Lewis for helping me get on the air here. Thanks for Stacy. Remember to pray for her. She's laying sick on the floor over there, all cuddled up in a blanket. Pray for Stacy to get better. And tomorrow's Friday, and I hope to see you all then. Thank you, Ed. Thank you to folks at Liberty Tree Radio. I cannot thank you enough for carrying this show and making sure that this message gets out. The effect is being felt at our church. People are coming to our conference because they're hearing this show on Liberty Tree Radio. So, we will be back tomorrow. The sword is heavy, the battle is hard, but the victory belongs to the Lord. God bless you all.